Hello, I'm Rebecca, and I will be the last stop on this very entertaining train for the evening. I moved to Milford, Connecticut about 4 years ago from a very, very, very tiny town in Texas. I settled in Milford where I found a lovely apartment and eventually started looking for a job. Within a couple of days, I had found truly what has become my dream job, and it was in Westport. I took the job very excitedly, and within the first couple of weeks of working there, I developed an STD. It's not what you think. Severe traffic. Severe traffic. Disorder. Thank you. She's my boss. Severe traffic disorder. I learned words like gridlock. I learned words like, I would like to stab the car in front of me. It was painful. I-95 was awful. The merit was worse. And every day for 2 weeks, I came home and had a nervous breakdown. The reason I moved to Connecticut was my dear sweet husband, whom I promptly decided I would divorce if my traffic situation did not get better. So one day he suggested that I take the train. Well, this intrigued me because, as I said, I am from Texas and we don't really have traffic where I'm from. In fact, if we put every single car we have on the road at the same time, we'd still have room for all of our horses. So this idea of the train intrigued me, and I asked him more. He said, well, you can get on the train right by my office in Milford. You can ride in with me, get on the train. It's about a mile from your office in Westport. You can walk there, you can bus there, and everything will be fine. This was a phenomenal idea because for me in Texas, our idea of mass transportation is a hayride. So I was on board this train. And I started taking it every day, and it was fantastic. So one day, I left Westport, and I was headed to Milford. It was a Friday. I hopped on the train. It was strangely quiet. The particular car that I got on was fairly empty, save maybe 7 people. So I stepped onto the train, and I took a seat in the first available seat, which was that 3-2 little split. And I sat facing forward because I like this train because I can put my feet up. So I sit down, and I immediately realize that I am in the midst of a Girls Gone Wild video. I can hear the girls behind me. I can't see them yet, but I can hear them, and they're giggling in that obnoxious way that is really only funny if you're as drunk as they are, which I was not because I had just left work, and my boss is right here. So that's okay. I've seen worse and probably behaved worse. So I took out my book and I popped in my headphones because I am a commuter. And I start reading. Now, it is at this point that I feel it is incredibly necessary to tell you 2 things. One, it is not okay to drink from a brown bag unless you are a hobo or a hooker. Also, nobody looks good in a yachting cap. Especially the young man behind me who is vertically challenged and has a head, well, roughly the size of my fist. So I begin reading and I feel a tap on my shoulder and I turn around and I am from the South, so we are impeccably polite. And I say, yes. Hi. He smiled. He reeked. Seriously, if he was a cannibal, he would have smelled better. Can I help you? The girls. Girls. There's girls. There's girls behind me. Uh-huh. Well, we're all together, and, well, they would like to sit there. But they're too scared to ask you. Now, I knew this already because despite my headphones, I could hear them giggling, thinking that no one could hear them, and they were exchanging this conversation. You ask her. No, you ask her. We can't ask her. We're too scared. Ask her. No, you ask her. Please. So, of course, captain wearing the yachting cap did. And so I said, they would like to sit here. And he said, yes. And so I immediately looked to my left where the identical seats were, but somehow they needed mine. So I said, well, most certainly I'll switch. So I stood up and I made my way towards the back of the train, and the four girls stood up and they sloshed forward into the seats. And they continued to carry on their conversation. Well, I decided that this was going to be far more of a show than my book or my headphones. So I just politely put everything back in my bag and I started watching. Well, it wasn't long before the doors that separate the cars opened, and through them walked the tallest man I have ever seen wearing a bright green tracksuit. He was the tallest man I've ever seen, tracksuit notwithstanding. He was huge. And he had on a white golfing cap. And apparently, his blood alcohol content level and the blood alcohol content level of the girls sort of met up, and they realized that they were kindred spirits. So the four girls motioned to him, and they began a conversation. So the captain, who was still sitting behind him, decided he would involve himself in the conversation with tracksuit as well. And apparently at some point he pissed him off. Now, I would later find out that he was angry because captain called tracksuit Popeye. I don't know for sure why, but I have a feeling it had something to do with the tracksuit and the hat. Apparently this did not make him happy, and he made this known by telling Captain that he was going to take him off this train. Now, I'm from the South, and I don't know what that means, but it became very clear when he slid his tracksuit jumper open, and there was a pistol in its waistband. At this point, I decide I'm going to die on the New Haven line with a bunch of drunk teenagers, including one wearing a yachting hat. So, as my generation does, I began to attempt to Facebook my last will and testament. Sadly, I cannot, because I've been too busy trying to take covert photos of the captain and the gentleman wearing the tracksuit. So now I'm just going to die and nobody's going to know this happened. Luckily, we arrived at Fairfield Station, and the gentleman stepped off the train, and we all breathed this very heavy and hearty sigh of relief that he was gone. For about 3 seconds, when he reboarded the train because he had mistaken Fairfield for Bridgeport and gotten off at the wrong stop. And somehow this was the good captain's fault. So he again threatens to take him off of the train and flashes the pistol. I'm just looking around going, what the hell does that mean? So eventually, the girls bat their eyelashes at the gentleman and manage to keep him calm enough until we do, in fact, arrive in Bridgeport, where he steps off the train and into his own world. It is at this point, as we continue on from Bridgeport, that I am pondering the fact that this entire situation began with four girls who were too terrified to ask me to switch spaces, but had no problem talking to the gangster in the green tracksuit from Bridgeport. My street cred went way up right then. So we get to I hear the last call for the Milford train station. So I begin to head up to the door. And I stand in front of the door. And thank God, these girls learned their lesson. Because as I'm standing there, waiting on the doors to open at the Milford train station, I hear this one girl, and she very quietly says, "That is the last time we talk to a stranger." Tonight. Unless he's cute.